Well, this morning, I get to unveil to you my vision for the new year. We got a new word. Last year, what was the word for last year? Supernatural, right? It was above and beyond the usual or normal. And I have no desire just to put that in a can and leave that in 2019. I believe that was just the beginning of us getting into the supernatural. We're going to keep going with that. And so that's a good thing. And really, that's really the word that God gives me for every year. I think for us as a church, it's not just isolated to that one specific year and that's it. It's something that God is just bringing into the culture, into our DNA, into who we are as a church body. He's continuing to shape us and form us. And so this idea, I think the first one I had was hope, right? A year of increased hope. And so I just feel like that's still who we are, right? That I keep saying that this place is a depression-free zone, right? That hope is just alive here. That we are full of joy. That we are joyfully expecting a good thing. That's my definition of hope. Joyfully expecting a good thing to happen. That if it's not good yet, God's not done yet, right? And so all these things are just part of who we are as a church. And so this idea of supernatural, man, we are going to continue to be a supernatural church. We're going to continue to believe in all the gifts that God has for us. And so that's good. So I'm not putting a close to that chapter. We're just saying, all right, we're opening a new thing that God has for us, a new presence, right? We just had Christmas. And so some of you probably are already aware of the word. If you have the monthly, you already got in that monthly. I gave you a verse or a passage, and I kind of gave you my heart a little bit on the monthly. And so did we already show the slide for the new year? I don't even know if we did already. There it is. So it's launch out into the deep. That's what we're going for. And so that comes from a passage, we'll read it in Luke, that Jesus is talking to Peter, and we're going to read that passage. But it is this idea of launching out in the deep, and I will, oh, someone doesn't like it, so I'll use it. We're going to, so I don't mean that, I don't mean it bad, but I just thought it right now as I'm about to say it, that someone doesn't like it, but too bad. We're going to unpack what that means, launching out into the deep. And so if you would you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5? And we're going to look, and I'll have it up here on the slide too. But sometimes I like, even when it's up on the slide, this is my personal preference, I like having my Bible. I like knowing what it says in my Bible. And not that I don't trust pastors, but sometimes they can change things. They can type something wrong. Like, I like to know, what does my Bible say? I like my version. I like my study notes. I like my Bible. It's just preference. And so I encourage you. Read this passage in your own translation, in your own Bible, whatever God has laid on your heart. This is a passage we're going to be going through. This is not just a one Sunday morning we're going through. As I said, this is what my vision is for the whole year. So we'll be talking about this passage for months to come. But this morning, hopefully I'll give kind of an overview of some of the things that God is saying for us. So before I do that, I can't not just jump into God's Word and start sharing things with you without praying. I need help. And I think all of us in this room, we want ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And so some of that comes from our own choice, right? We have a choice. We can choose life. We can choose death. God's Word says, I bet before you life and death. Choose life. He has to tell us what to do. So I'm telling you this morning, choose life. Choose to open up your ears to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because I believe God is speaking. He is alive. We live by every word that proceeds from His mouth. And so if you're hungry, I promise you God will feed you today. I don't promise you I'll feed you, but I promise God will feed you today if you're hungry. So let's pray that God does that. He stirs up a hunger within us to hear what He has to say. So Jesus, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we believe and we declare with you and agree with you, Jesus, that your word is living. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, God. It's able to pierce our hearts and separate things, God, where we're walking in the flesh and we're deceived and we don't even know it, God. I want your truth, God, for light to pierce darkness, God, and for me to understand and to know, God, because it's your truth that sets me free, God. And so I thank you for that, God. And I pray that your truth would set all of us in this room free. God, that we would not live under the lie. We would not live under deception, but we'd live under your truth. We'd live under your grace. And so I pray, God, that you would help me as I bring your word forth. God, would you anoint me? God, would your Holy Spirit come upon me and help me? Be my helper. Be my paraclete to help me to do things I could not do on my own. And Holy Spirit, would you be on each one of us? Just as Jesus breathed his breath of life and breathed and blew over his disciples. God, I breathe over all of us today, God, that your Holy Spirit would open up our ears to understand, to know what you are saying to us, God, that we would receive your word, that we would be good soil, God, that your word would be able to put down good roots, God, and that there would be a harvest, or God, that you would get out of the seed that is planted today, God. And so I just thank you for your word. We pray a blessing over it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 is where we're reading. This is a story. We'll just read it. So it was as the multitude pressed about him, Jesus, capital H, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of How people say this? Gennesaret? Gennesaret? That's the most common. Gennesaret, there's all kinds of words. I never know which one the right way is, but Gennesaret is the way I hear it. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Next slide. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." There's our verse right there. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. One last slide. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. All right. So there is, to me, I was struggling yesterday because there's so much I want to say. And I know that sometimes when I have too much to say, I start talking really fast and then you don't understand what I'm saying because I talk too fast. Because I'm trying to get it all in. So I tried not to put it all in for this morning, but we will unpack it as the months and days, as weekends go by. But there is so much. This is rich, full of things for us to learn this year. But this idea, I want to hone in on that verse 4, to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That's really our focus in that whole story, but we'll preach and teach on all of the whole passage. But this idea of launch, this idea, that's kind of the key word here, launch. Launch out into the deep. What does launch mean? Well, there's a dictionary word for launch, right? And it's to throw forward or propel. It's built up potential that is aimed in a specific direction and then set into motion. So that's kind of Webster's dictionary. You Google it, that's what launch means. The first word that we should play a word association game. When I say the word launch, what comes to your mind?
Slingshot.
Throw. Rocket. That's the one, because that's the winner for me. That's like a spaceship. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Launch. I'm like, oh, space shuttle launch. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. But it also obviously is boats, right? You launch a boat into the water. There's all kinds of things launch. But this idea of it being moving from one place to another. And that's really what I feel like God is saying for us at Oz Neighbor Church. There's something for us as a church. There's something for us individually. And this word came to me first, individually. And I didn't know this was for the church body. So God was giving me a download of all kinds of things for me specifically in my own personal life that I need to launch. And there's all kinds of things where I need to move from where I'm at into a new place. And there's things I need to propel. And this idea of it's with great haste, right? It's not this idea of just, you don't launch something slowly, right? You have a slingshot, it's going fast. You're doing a rocket, that's going fast. There's things that it's with great haste. And it's moving from one place to another. And so what does that mean? We're going to move physical locations from this address? No, that's not what I'm saying. We're not moving physical locations. But there's things that maybe in our lives, there's things that we do where God is saying, all right, that season is done. It's time to move and transition into this new season. It's time to go do something new. And so this idea of, I feel like launch is bringing with us all these associations. And I like that second one, that it's built up potential. It's almost the idea of like a rocket ship with all that rocket fuel, right? It just takes a little light, right? A little bit of fire, explodes. Or a spring, right? All that tension. It's getting built up tension. And then all of a sudden, it gets launched forward. So I feel like there's things that really, even if you get outside of your own personal life, outside of even Oz Neighbor Church, if you start looking at more of a global context or national context, you hear prophetic words that people are giving over end times or over the church or God's kingdom. There's a lot that you read that you'll see that, man, there is something that is moving in the heavenlies. There's something, there was a Jesus people movement, right, back in the 70s. But we went to Azusa Now, which was like a 100-year celebration of the Azusa Street Revival. There's been revivals that God has had, right, the Great Awakening. There's all these things you can track in history where there's been something where Jesus kind of pours out his spirit, where there's revival, where there's something where you get launched. There's something where it's not just, things are just kind of moving slowly. Something moves to the next, season, the next position, the next something, and it's with great haste, and there's a lot to it. And I feel like there's something, if you read prophetic voices, you read things that are going on, there's things that, man, God is coming back. Jesus is returning. And there's things that Jesus is getting ready. It's not going to, I don't believe it's going to be 1,000 years from now. I believe it could be in our lifetime. And so there's things that, man, things are getting set in motion. There's things that are getting built up and it's getting ready to launch. And so I'm excited. I want to be a part of it. I don't want Osborne to be on the back heels of what God is doing. I want to be in the forefront. Right? I want to be launched. I want to be one of the predecessors. I want to be one of the ones, but man, revival starts here. And then it hits all of our leaders. And then it hits LA. And then it hits all of California. Like, I want it to be here. So I'm saying, God, yes, this is a good word. Like, this is not, I didn't make this up. This word launch. I hope you hear this. These aren't things like I just come up with and I just try to think what would be a catchy phrase. This is something that I struggled with at first. As I said, it was something that God spoke to me. And so for me personally, it's like, oh yes, God, this is a good word. And I started chewing it. This is a hard word, God. This is going to be difficult, God. And I started thinking all internally. And then I realized, oh no, this is for our whole church. And so I think there's still things that I don't even know yet that God is speaking through this word. And I think there's things as we chew on it, as we meditate on it, God's going to reveal what this looks like for you specifically, for us as a church body. I think there's things that God wants to reveal. I should probably open up my iPad and look at some notes because I do have a sermon prepared. Hold on 1 second. And I love that word launch, we kind of played that association game. When I think of the word launch, we thought of a rocket, you think of a slingshot. There's, to me, if you keep going that association game, there's something to do with risk or even danger. Right? That word launch doesn't sound like a very safe, comfortable, easy word. That's kind of a scary word, launch, like to launch a locket. Wow, that's kind of scary. And so I just was thinking about that, man, there's some dangerous, this is a dangerous word. This is not an easy word. This is not a comfortable word. This is a word that's getting us out of our comfort zone and into something else that's maybe more risk-taking, more dangerous. And that's what I'm seeing is I don't think God wants this just to be a normal year. This is 2020, and I feel like this is, right, it's the beginning of a new decade. There's something about it that this is unique. This is special. It's not going to be a mediocre, ordinary, normal year. There's something about it that we're supposed to transition to something extraordinary, right? And so there's this idea, one of my favorites. If you ever are bored and are, like, looking up, like, different videos, YouTube or Google Francis Chan balance beam. I think I've shown it once here before, years ago. It's one of my favorites. But I love the picture he gives of so many Christians. I think a lot of us in this room fall in this category. That he had this balance beam. Like, you know what a balance beam is like in Olympics, right? Where they do all the somersaults, gymnastic things on the balance beam. You know what I'm talking about? Yes? No? Yeah, balance beam. So he had one of those when he was speaking. And he gets up on there. Instead of doing a routine, he's the pastor. He's not a gymnast. He went into the middle of the balance beam and he just hugged it with all his arms and his legs. He's just hugging it. And he says, this is what we look like as American Christians. We want to live we want to live comfortable, safe lives. And he goes, and then we want to get off the balance beam and we want to stand up and do this at the end and say that was our routine, just to hug a balance beam. And we show up in heaven doing this. And he's like, what is God supposed to do? Applaud? Like, well, that wasn't a routine. You didn't do anything. You didn't jump. You didn't do the splits. You didn't do a somersault. You didn't flip. You didn't do anything on that. You didn't take any risks. And I feel like that's kind of what God is saying. If this is a year to launch, we better be ready to take some risks. There's some things where it's going to be faith. Faith is risky, right? We have had Mark Coppersmith come several times. He says faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? There's something about, there's the unknown, the unsure. As you read the story, right, launch out into the deep. Ah, the deep, I don't know what's out there. There's this idea of risk-taking. It's scary. There's, I don't know. And so there's this idea that God is wanting to get us out of our comfortable, normal routines and say, it's time to go somewhere new. It's time to go somewhere higher. And really, as we look at the next definition, this is the Greek word for launch. Is anago, and it's to launch out, set sail, put to sea. But I like this also, it means to lead up or bring into a higher place. If you do a Strong's dictionary, you look up all the places that anago is used. It's used lots of times. It's used when Jesus as a baby was led or taken up to Jerusalem to be anointed and blessed. It was used when Satan took Jesus up onto a high mountain, led him and took him up to a high mountain. It's used all these different places. The most common is actually set sail, to launch a ship. Jesus would tell his disciples, let's set sail and go to the other side of the lake. So it's this idea of launching. But I do like the idea of the association of going to a higher place. It's being led up. This is what the Lord is saying. When he's saying he wants Osborne, the word for us is launch, is God wants us to take us to a higher place, right? We go from glory to glory. And he's saying it's not okay to stay in the same area. We've got to go up. It's time to grow up. It's time to launch out and adventure and new things. And I love that this is going, I love the fact that we just prayed over Sabrina and Therese, and they are launching out of this church body and going out to discipleship training school. They're launching out. That's some risk. There's some adventure out there. I love that young people aren't afraid of adventure. And I'm saying, I don't want to get old. I want to remain someone who wants adventure. Let's go for it. Let's try new things. Let's be led up to things, all right? God is wanting to take us to a higher place. And so this is a year of launching. This is a year of launching in so many ways. Launching into new beginnings, launching into new habits as we start the new year, launching into new ministries, launching into freedom, launching into dreams, higher places with God, launching into greater generosity, launching into tithing, launching into serving, launching into leading, launching into, you can fill in the blank, right? Launching into daily devotionals, launching into the supernatural, launching into the promised land. That's a word that God gave us a long time ago. I feel like there's parts of us. I feel like we are, God, we're in God's presence. But there's still something where I feel like God, we have not, Osborne has not fully entered the promised land. And I'm saying, man, it's time to go in. Let's not be afraid of the giants. Let's be led up and let's launch into the promised land. And this wasn't in here for my notes for today, but I'll give you a sneak peek. Launch in the Old Testament, so this is the Greek word, but in the Hebrew, the time launch is used in the Hebrew is all about launching an attack. Whether the enemy was launching attack or the Israelites, the God's people were launching attack, it was used pretty much only for launching attacks. That's what that word in the Hebrew, launch isn't a very common word, right? But that's the only time you'll find it in the Old Testament. And so I feel like there's, man, entering the promised land, they had to launch some attacks, right? There's the Battle of Jericho. They had different things where, man, there was giants in the land. There was people already living there. The enemy was there, and they had to defeat the enemy and get the enemy out of the promised land. So that they can inhabit it and it could be theirs. And I think there's still some things that Osborne, it's time to launch some attacks on the enemy. He's been attacking us. Let's stop playing defense the whole time. Right. Maybe let's take the ball. Like football's, we're in the middle of football season, right? Playoffs. There's something about it. When you have the ball, man, you better do something with it. And I feel like the Lord is saying, all right, this year, 2020, it's not time just to play defense, let the enemy have the ball and keep attacking you. It's time to take the ball away from the enemy. And it's time to start attacking launches on him. And so there's a lot of things that I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface of this morning that God wants to reveal to us in this idea of launching. Let me see something else. So, kind of prefacing too. Before you launch a rocket to the moon, you need to prepare, right? There's got to be some preparation. And I love, as I shared this word with some leadership, even Zan was sharing that, you know, in the media industry with Disney and different things, when you launch a new movie or when you launch a new pilot for a new TV show series or whatever it is, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that the team is talking about and planning and figuring out how do we launch this. And I feel like that's kind of the season we're in too. I'm giving the word for the first time. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to happen this one Sunday. It means, man, we're in this mode of getting things ready. All right, so we're supposed to launch. And it says, I love the definition, it says in a set point, in a specific direction. So where are we going? If we're shooting for the moon, we got to know where the moon is. We got to have good preparation. People know the story better than I do, but I didn't do any research on it. But I've heard before that when the Americans and I don't know whoever else, other people internationally were working on getting to the moon, they used the metric system, right? We used the standard system. And so you just kind of averaged at some point decimals further on. They averaged. Well, at some point, you're going to miss the moon. If you're off just a fraction of a decimal and you're aiming for the moon and you're off a fraction of a decimal after that long distance, you're going to miss the moon. You missed it. So there's this idea. You got to prepare. There's things that need to be prepared. But I feel like the Lord is saying also at the same time, yes, we do need to prepare. He's saying don't stay in preparation mode. Because this idea of launch, I said, is with great haste. So it doesn't mean this whole year, 2020, is just preparing. That would be a waste. No. This is a year that we'll actually launch. There needs to be some preparations. But don't stay in preparation mode. I was thinking about this. I dated my wife for 6 years before we got married. That was a lot of preparation. To me, I would say it's too much preparation. I'll tell you, young people, don't date for 6 years. Date, get prepared, and then get married. But 6 years, good golly. And to me, that kind of defines a lot about who I am as a personality, my character traits. Before I make a decision, I'm not quick to make decisions. I'm slow to make decisions. And so God is telling me specifically, if you're like me, man, this is a year where he's challenged you. It's time to launch. Don't stay in this prep. I mean, even if my wife sends me to the store to buy some peanut butter, like I'll go to the peanut butter aisle and I'll look at all the peanut butter and I'm like, oh,
that one's cheaper. Oh, but it doesn't taste as good. Oh, how many grams? And I'll spend 10 minutes looking at all the different peanut butters there are. I'm like, at some point, I'm like, Ryan, just pick a peanut butter and go buy it. It doesn't matter. Just buy it. And I feel like God is saying to me specifically, maybe somebody else in this room, this is a year not of wasting your time and preparing. It's a year of launching. To me, at some point, you're never ready to get married. At some point, I had to get enough guts and ask her, will you marry me? At some point, you are never ready to have children. I will tell you. You will never have enough money. You will never be mature enough. You will never be completely ready to have children. But at some point, you got to launch into just having children. You might never be ready. I mean, people who've bought a house. If you never bought a house, I'm not ready financially, all these things. There's preparation. I get it. At some point, you got to pull the trigger. At some point, you got to launch. There's some risk involved with life. That's just life. And I feel like God is saying, don't get stuck in preparation mode. Don't get stuck, this is me, in just trying to seek out all the wisdom and making sure you cover all bases. At some point, risk is involved. And so what does all this mean to you? All right, I know I'm getting a lot of general things. So let's look at it again. Let's kind of look at that verse. Do I have that next? I don't forget what slide I have next. Just that, chapter 5, verse 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So you just kind of break that down, which I did just a little bit in our monthlies. That word launch, I know I've been kind of harping on that word launch, but I love that idea of launching out. I love what Scripture says, not just the word launch, it's launch out. It is, again, like I said, it's moving from here to there. It's moving to a new place. And what is God saying to you? And we're going to have some time at the end of this service, and we're going to have time this whole year to figure out all of what God is saying. But I want you even now to have ears to hear. I think God is speaking even today. There might be things that, man, you already know. Things have been brewing, and just this one message, God is kind of hitting the nail on the head for you already. But I think for some of us, we got to figure out, okay, God, where am I supposed to point? What am I supposed to launch to? Because I think there are new ministries. There's new things that God wants to do. And so what is it? Launch means you leave where you are and go somewhere new, but do it with great haste. This year, Jesus is telling you and I to launch into new territory and go places we have not gone before. Launch out. Get out of where you currently are. Just go for it. Just do it. Like Nike, just do it. The state of your heart or attitude doesn't even have to be completely right. That's a scary line when I wrote that. But I feel like it's true. Because it's this idea of preparation. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to have, well, my heart is in the right place. I mean, really, when it comes to salvation, coming to know Jesus, so many people get stuck in, well, once I get my life, once I stop taking drugs, once I start doing this, then I'll start following Jesus. No, actually, your heart doesn't have to be right. You don't have to have everything figured out in life. You don't have to do everything right. You just have to come to a place where, you know what? I believe. I'm going to pull the trigger and say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I don't deserve it, but I believe it. That's a launch, right? Your heart wasn't in the right place. Man, you were a mess. But at some point, you pulled the trigger. You said, I believe in you, Jesus. I want your salvation. I want your forgiveness. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to launch into a new life of serving you and following you, not following my own selfish desires. And guess what? Were you perfect at it? No. You still are working at your salvation. Sanctification is still happening to all of us. We're not perfect yet. We're all working on it. But there's an idea. At some point, you got to just go for it. Your heart doesn't have to be in the right place. You don't have to have all the gifts and all the talents. You just got to go do it. Like I said, like getting married or having kids, you're never fully ready or prepared. But there has to be a willingness to go out and launch. Maybe that's what God is saying for some of us this morning, is a willingness. As you're just hearing this word for the first time, maybe that's the first kind of chisel. Because God has to chisel my heart sometimes. I'm hard-hearted. I'm thick-headed sometimes. And so sometimes God can just reveal things to me all at once and I'm good. Other times God has to, like, layer by layer reveal things to me. So maybe some of us this morning is just kind of a willingness. This word is like kind of new and foreign and strange and sounds scary and dangerous and I don't know if I want it. Well, maybe there's just a willingness. God's going to say, are you willing? Are you even willing to try something new? Man, you are so comfortable. You like things the way they are. You're very particular. And God is saying, man, I got to chisel away at you. There's some things that you've got set in motion that I want to change. I want, you're launching in this direction. I want you to launch in this direction. So there's things that, man, are we willing? Are we willing to allow God to change our goals, our desires, where we're headed? So launch out. And again, we're going to dive into that a whole lot more, but I just want to hit a high overview. Then this idea, launch out into the deep. That's huge. The word for the year, yes, is launch, but it's connected to this whole verse. It isn't just launch a rocket. It's out into the deep. Think about the story again. This was Peter, who had just been fishing all night long, who was now in the shallow waters. He'd come. He was leaving for the day, right? He was washing his nets. He was going home. He was done working. He was done with what he had just done. He was ready to relax, and he was hanging up his nets. I'm not doing that anymore. And Jesus said, actually, go out one more time. What? One more time? It was fruitless. It was pointless. It didn't mean anything last time I went. Why would I go do that again? I think for some of us, we need to hear that. It's time to go do it again. Huh. Well, that was an old season, Pastor. That was years ago. I used to help in the kids' ministry a long time ago when I was younger. What is the Lord saying to you? Maybe it's time to go back. And I'm just using that as one example. There could be a zillion things where you say, I already hung up that towel. I already hung up that net. I don't do that anymore. Really? Because God is saying, actually, go out one more time. And if you're willing to go out into the deep, what was the end result? And there was a miracle that took place. I think there's miracles that are going to happen this year if we're willing to launch back out into the deep. I think for some of us, maybe it's the opposite of what I just said. Peter was so used to fishing. That's what he does every single day. He goes out and fishes. And what's the story? It says that he left it all. He left the fishing business. He left his boat and his nets, and he went and followed Jesus. It was completely new territory, something he'd never done before. See, my prayer is that during this 21 days of fasting, that God begins to give some of us desires for things maybe we've never desired before. And I think, maybe this is a true statement, maybe it's not, but I'm just thinking this. If you want something you've never had, you're going to have to go somewhere you've never been. I'll connect it. Last Sunday, we got to pray over a lot of you. Families came and prayed. Can I say the number one prayer that at least in the people I prayed for was people wanted a closer relationship with God. They wanted greater intimacy. Well, if you want greater intimacy with God, you're going to have to launch out into things maybe you currently aren't doing. You're going to have to launch out into a new daily Bible reading plan. You're going to have to discipline yourself to actually fast. You're going to have to discipline yourself to actually, when it comes to worship time and everyone else is just kind of doing this with their hands, that you're going to go all in and be recklessly abandoned in worship. If you want more of his intimacy, man, you're going to have to launch into things that you've never been before. If you want it, you got to go get it. This idea of launching out into the deep. See, little fish are in the shallow. The big fish are in the deep. If you want big fish, you're going to have to go out into the deep. I think there's things where God, maybe you have no desire for the big fish. My prayers of these 21 days is that he stirs up a hunger within this church body for the big things, for the deep things of God. I don't want to live a mediocre life living in the shallow waters. See, the shallow waters, they represent, and we'll talk about this later, but it represents the warm, lukewarm waters where things are comfortable. Things are safe, right? There's no big waves in the shallow waters. It's not scary there. That's comfortable. In fact, Jesus was even in the boat there. And they were receiving the word of God. It was a good thing to be in the boat with Jesus in the shallow waters. But at some point in your relationship with Jesus, he's going to tell you to go out into the deep water. He's not satisfied with you just hanging around in the shallow waters. He wants you to take risks. The Bible doesn't even say. I'm guessing that Jesus actually wasn't in the boat. He was in the boat when he was in shallow waters, and he said, all right, Peter, now go out into the deep. You launch out into the deep. You go catch the fish. Jesus was there. He was watching, right? He performed the miracle. He was with him, but physically, he wasn't in the boat. There's some things where you're going to feel like, God, where are you? But are you willing to go? Because he is there. If he's launching, if he's telling you to go, he'll go with you. But there's this season, man. Being a Christian does not mean everything is easy. And I fear that that's kind of what's happened to me. That's what's happened to the American church over the last several hundred years is, man, life is easy. Life gets comfortable and we crave the shallow parts of the water. Right. And God is saying, it's time to launch out into the deep. Don't be so comfortable. God's word even says it, right? Deep cries out into deep. I'm praying that the deep things of God are crying out to the deep things in us this year. So you can live a comfortable life in the shallow waters, but if you want to live fully alive, I love that Ren Collective song. I want to live alive. I want to live alive, right? I don't want to live a lie. I want to live alive. I want to live fully alive. There's another song we brought back from when I was a youth pastor, right? I want to breathe in the fullness of my true design. My brain just thinks of songs all the time. But that's just, it's true. I think in the shallow waters, it's comfortable, it's easy. But that's not where life is sad. That's not where you get the greatest satisfaction in life. It's actually out in the deep. It's where you take risks. That's where life is meaningful. It's fully alive. God rewards those who go out into the deep. So launch out into the deep. Out into the deep means where you're going has some risk and potential for failure. It lacks comfort and safety. I've said a lot of that. I'll skip that. All right, we'll go to the next one. So launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Let down your nets. There's a lot that we've got to let go of. Let down your nets. I know they were working. They were putting down nets to catch fish, and there's a lot of analogy that works there, but I want to go on this analogy. I think there's things we've got to let go of. I love God's word. It says, commit, or actually when you translate it, it could be translated even better, roll away your worries, or roll your concerns, roll your actions to the Lord. Commit your actions to the Lord. Commit your worries. Commit everything that's in your head and the things you're thinking about. Commit them to the Lord. Amen. And the picture is actually in the Greek when Jesus is saying that. He's saying that, man, like a camel was burdened down with all the heavy load of things. It was the same word used. Galal, I think, is where it rolls away. Where the camel would kneel down and then lean to a side and all the heavy load and all the burden would roll off the camel. And he's using that same word, commit or roll your thoughts, your burdens, your worries. Commit them to the Lord because he cares for you, right? He wants what's best for you, but there's some things we got to let go of. Sometimes we come to God and we're holding on to things and we come into his presence and we're not letting go of things. He's saying, this is the year. If you want to launch out, you got to let go of things. Let go of your old way of thinking. Let go of control. That's a scary one. I didn't think I was a control freak, and God has been revealing to me that I am. I really didn't think I was. Like, I don't have preferences. Like, often, what comes by my mouth a lot is, I don't care, whatever you want. That comes out of my mouth a lot. And so I just view myself as, yeah, I'm kind of a carefree. I don't have control issues. And God is just like a laser beam. He gets focused on one thing. He's like, Ryan, what about this? I'm like, yeah, I do have the control. Okay, that's an issue. What about this one? Oh my gosh, I guess I do have control issues. I got to let go. And some of this is huge. As I've shared several times, since I was a young boy being raised in this church, I just wanted wisdom. I just started pursuing wisdom. And I read Proverbs, man, over and over and over again. Memorized it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my favorite verse, right? Proverbs, I wanted to be wise. I want to be wise. And some of that is so good. And I thank God that was a pursuit of mine. But some of that actually, I've been hanging on to worldly wisdom, practical wisdom. Well, practical wisdom says, don't do that. Well, I ain't doing that. Practical wisdom says, if you do that, then you're going to fail in this area, and that's not going to work out. And God is saying, man, let go of all those things. His wisdom, it confounds the wisdom of this world. So we've got to let go of some things. There's some things we got to trade in. As I said, roll your cares on him. I love this because as you give God things, God will never be outgiven. And I love that word because it means God's competitive. It means that at least there's somebody who's more competitive than me. God is. He won't be outgiven. If you give him something, man, he'll give you more. That's just who he is. If you let go of something, you let go of your finances, man, God's going to bless you. He's going to reward you. There's just so many things. This is not a tithing message, but man, I'm telling you, commit your ways, commit your finances, your first fruits. I'm telling you, if you do, you'll be blessed. I'm telling you, I'll use this as a segue really quick. 21 days of fasting. I picked the first of the year because that's the first fruits. It's the first three Sundays, right? It's actually four Sundays to make it 21 days. But it's the first fruits of the new year. I want to give God the first and the best. I don't want to give him leftovers. So with that, I'll segue just for a second into this idea of fasting. My challenge to us as a church body is I'm inviting you into a fast. I'm not a pastor who's telling you you have to do this. I'm saying I'm inviting you. There's an opportunity. I'm doing it. I know a lot of leadership is doing it. I'm inviting the whole church. What does that look like for you? I'm asking for you to spend time with God to find out. It can be no food for 21 days. It can be no lunches for 21 days. And while you're at work, you spend your lunchtime with God. It can be, as some of my kids are doing, no desserts, no sweets, no candy. They're doing that. That's a big sacrifice for them. That, you know, whatever it is. It can be one of my kids is doing no video games, no screen time, maybe no social media. I heard somebody else saying they're going to do that for the 21 days. No Facebook, no Instagram, no whatever, hanging out. Great. It can be whatever you and God choose to come up with. But I challenge you, would you do something? Someone even during the Sunday school hour said, well, medical conditions, I can't fast. I said, no, you can't fast. You can't fast food, but you can fast. There's something you can do for these 21 days. And so I'm just challenging all of you. Would you consider, would you be willing, that word already came forth, would you be willing to even consider doing a 21-day fast? And what does that look like for you? My prayer is it involves some sacrifice. I want to be sacrificed. Sacrifice honors God. Sacrifice pleases God. If you don't believe me, read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. God desires sacrifice. He enjoys it. But my goal in this is not just to inflict pain on ourselves so that God is pleased. That's not who God is. He doesn't enjoy us going through pain. But he does enjoy us when we get hungry for him. When we seek him first. And then all these other things are added unto us. There's something about it when he gets the first and the best. Oh, he loves it. And like I said, he's a competitive God. He won't be outgiven. You can't outdo him. And so he will bless you. There's things in this as we let down our nets. And there's things that God wants to trade for us. Trade worry for his peace. Fear for his love. Your tiredness for his rest. Your pride for his gentle rebuke. A lack of confidence for his power and might. There's so many things as we let go of things, he rewards us with better things. That's just who he is. So I am encouraging all... I was going to do it later on, but I'm doing it now, I guess. I'll segue. 21 days of fasting. We provided, as you leave here today, there's these little, I don't know what you want to call them, little booklets. It's 4 pages, really. It's just a tool or a resource that you can use as we're launching out into the new year, as you're launching into a fast, that you spend some time with God, you get some verses that God is speaking over you, some declarative words, and they're just examples of how you can fill in the blank and make it apply to your own life. So this is just a tool and a resource. I would love for all of you to grab one as you leave and fill them out over the next 21 days. Spend time with God. Use this as a tool or resource. So see that before you leave. I'll try to hand that out to all of you guys before you leave. So just making sure I mention that. 21 days fast. Am I covering everything I want to say about that? So as I said, Jen said, the last day, the 26th, we'll come together, we'll break our fast together and party, have a good time, but also praise the Lord and worship him. It'll be good. My prayer, my goal is that God speaks. Is that during this 21 days, we get revelation. We hear God speaking to us, that our ears are opened, that a hunger is stirred up within us. Like I said, I think that was the number one prayer request last Sunday, is that people would get closer to God. I can't think of a better way to stir up hunger and appetite for God than fasting. Something about when my physical body hungers, I just translate that right away when I have my stomach growl and it starts to get hungry. I'm like, God, I hunger for you. God, I want more of you. This fleshly body wants food, but my spirit yearns and longs for more of you. And it's just a healthy reminder. God, I want you. I want you. I want spiritual hunger to be revived, to be stirred up within us. And so this fasting, to me, that's one of my biggest goals, is that we get hungry for him. All right, so let down your nets for a catch. All right, last little segue, right? Last little part of the verse. For a catch. This is huge. Because I feel like part of the vision that we're headed for, this launch, where we're going, I've shared with you before. I believe one of my goals, and I think it's in line with God's goal, is I would love to see this church actually grow numerically. That we would not just learn how to, as this whole verse was talking about, was not about fish, it was about men. Fishing for men. The miracle of them catching fish in their nets so much they couldn't even contain it all. It was a prophetic word, it was a visual, it was a predecessor of what Peter was going to do. Become a fisher of men. That he was going to be a preacher. That his very first sermon, thousands of people that he couldn't even count, came to know the Lord in his first sermon. I believe God wants to see this church grow. I had no idea it was going to come out of my mouth. When I was praying over my own kids, it came out a couple times. And it sounds like I'm bragging again. When I was just telling my kids, man, when I was in the youth group, I remember there was a day I looked in one of these pews, and the entire pew was all friends from my school that I was bringing to church. Later on, I realized, oh yeah, I brought my neighbors that weren't saved. I brought them to my youth group. I was bringing kids to my youth group. I was bringing people, and I'm saying, man, I'm believing this is a year where God revives that within me. I'm not pointing the fingers at my kids or you. I'm saying, God, revive that within us. That we just begin to invite. We fish for men.
Right.
And this place gets full of people that are hungry for God.
Right.
Even if they're not hungry for God, they're getting it. They're getting stuffed full of God. They're hearing the truth of God here. I can't wait till one of you in this room that you look down the pew and you're responsible for every single person on that pew. Man, I declare that over every single one of us.
Amen.
That we get to see that before 2020 is over with, a whole pew in this church is filled because of you. I'm believing that the whole reason Jesus is telling us to launch is not just for our own personal gain. It's for His kingdom. It's for His glory. It's for His kingdom to advance. It's for the church to grow. The whole reason we're launching out into the deep, into unknown territory, into places we've never been, and doing things we've never done, and risk and danger, is to see other people come to know Jesus. It's to bring in a harvest. Man, Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. They're wide into the harvest. It's ready. And so God is saying it's time to launch. It's time to go bring people in. It's time to get out of these walls and bring Jesus out to them. But it's time to launch. It's time to launch. All right. I didn't even cover half, not even close to half of things, but I'm trying to do a good job of not talking too fast. All right. I got to close this up and just kind of recap a few things maybe the Lord is trying to say to you specifically. You know what? Even do that. Just close your eyes for a second. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? To me specifically. God, I know you're speaking to the whole church and this is a prophetic word that the pastor has given over the whole church. But Jesus, what are you saying to me? This is the beginning of a new year. A new decade. God, I don't want it just to pass by. I don't want it to be a mediocre, normal, ho-hum year. God, I want to stop and consider. I want to think. I want to have a plan. I want to be prepared. And at the same time, I want to be willing to launch. What does that look like for me, God? Speak to me, God. Even in this 21-day fast, what does that look like for me, God? So keep your eyes closed. I'm just going to read this. Peter's response was fear. After the miracle of all these fish coming in, trembling in fear, he came to Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." And as I interpret Peter, this wasn't his first encounter with Jesus. He'd been at the wedding. He saw the water turn into wine. He'd seen demons cast out. Jesus had been to his house and healed his mother-in-law. He had a relationship with Jesus. But he saw that Jesus was pursuing him and kept choosing him. Out of all the boats on the lake, he chose Peter's. And he sensed that, "Jesus, you keep calling me out." And this fear welled up with him as this miracle took place. He said, "Jesus, you picked the wrong guy. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not trained enough. I don't even know if I really want to follow you, Jesus. But you keep picking me." And out of fear, he just opened his mouth. He said, "Jesus, leave me alone." But Jesus spoke and looked in Peter's eyes and said, "No, Peter, I choose you. You are the right one. I want you. I could have picked anyone, and my desire is you. I want you. Nobody else can do what you can do. I want to make you a fisher of men.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to disciple you. I want to teach you. I handpicked you. I'm going to invest in you.
Thank you, Lord.
This next season is not you just being radical. It's me speaking life and hope and truth into you.
If you're willing to let go, if you're willing to follow me, I will bless you beyond belief. Your life's going to look radically different, but it's going to be good. It's going to be satisfying. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be the best years of your life. So Jesus, we don't repeat Peter's words. We repeat your words, Jesus. Not my will, your will be done.
Amen.
God, I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I'm not, God, I'm yours. Whatever you choose for me to do, my response is yes. I will obey. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So yes, Lord, as you said, this is a year of launching. God, I receive that word. Each one of us in this room, we receive that word from you. You're speaking to me, God. I receive it. I'm willing to do something new. I'm willing to go somewhere new. I'm willing to pick up something I let go of a long time ago. God, I'm willing not to live a mediocre, comfortable life. And I'll be bold enough to say, I want to live a dangerous life.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
I want to be like Peter.
Yes.
That where I go, your presence is with me. That you hide me under the wing, under the shadow of your wing. That where I walk, it's not just my shadow, it's your shadow cast on other people. The people are healed. The people are set free. Everywhere I go, I'm a fisher of men.
Amen.
People are coming to know you everywhere I go because you're with me.
Amen.
So God, we receive your word. And we receive the challenge to launch out into the deep. We receive the challenge to fast for the next 21 days. God, I commit my ways. I commit that I am going to follow you. I commit that I am going to fast. I'm going to give up something. I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm going to implement more time with you. More time in your word. More time in your presence. More time singing and worshiping you. More time being still and just knowing that you're God. I want more of you. I'm hungry for more of you, God. So I thank you for your word to us this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to fast. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.